This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What, look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
Supreme Court. Uh-oh. It's coming. We have anarchist jurisdictions. And finally, women and animals. It doesn't work. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. All right, I have to go and be honest with you for a moment. Full disclosure, I realize it's a big night. We have anarchist jurisdictions. We're about to go over all the Supreme Court stuff, what I think is coming, so on and so forth. But I just ate a Little Debbie zebra cake right before the show. So I'm a little extra fired up tonight on sugar. Look, that's how celebrities prep, all right? I'm important now with a TV show, so that's what I do. Supreme Court. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. Rest in peace. She supposedly said something on, left a dying wish of some kind, how, you know, anybody but Trump replaces it. Let's just set all that stuff aside for a moment. Forget about any of that. Let's adjust our mindset here as a country. It's fine to pay homage in some way, in some brief way, to a person in our government who passes away. We don't have to revere them as if they're kings and queens. We don't have a monarchy here, but it's totally fine to pay RBG a little respect. Trump's been respectful. Well, that's fine, whatever. But we need to be clear about something. That's not Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat. I see this all the time. You see this all the time in the Senate. You'll have this senator who's been there for 9,000 years, and he dies. And what? That was Senator so-and-so's seat. We have lost who we are? Forgotten? I think probably forgotten's a better way to put it. We are different here. These seats belong to you. These seats belong to me. They do not belong to somebody who happened to sit in them for a long time. And just because RBG stayed in the Supreme Court forever before she finally passed away doesn't make that seat hers. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. Now, for the bad news, here's what's coming. Donald Trump has, to his credit, already announced his intention to put forward a nominee. Mitch McConnell has, to his credit, already said we're going to have a vote on this nominee. That's the good news. The bad news is this. It's been ugly already, right? It's been really, really ugly. The past, what, four or five? I've lost track of time now. When did coronavirus even start? 1775? It feels that long ago. But it's been a long year in general, politically. I know you're feeling it. It's about to get so much worse. Here's the best way I can describe it. How would you react if somebody was trying to destroy your God? If somebody was out there working to abolish your religion, what would your reaction be? That's what you're about to see from the left. It is important for you to keep in mind as you see the insanity over the coming weeks. That's what you're looking at. They have chosen government as a god, and that's why they're constantly acting insane. That's why they're constantly justifying violence. That's why they're constantly justifying any depraved, horrible act that you and I look at and we think, what is wrong with these people? They're already protesting en masse on the property of the homes of United States senators in D.C., Lindsey Graham, Tillis, and others. Already on their property protesting. Police already had to escort somebody from Lindsey Graham's front door. We don't even have a nominee yet. We don't, look, Trump, I mean, he's not going to. Trump could choose a card-carrying leftist for all these people. No, it doesn't matter. When you look at the leftists and you say to yourself, these people are nutballs. That's why. It's a religion. It is not a political ideology. It is a religion, and it's a religion of domination. And part of what you've really seen over the past 3 or 4 years during the Trump era, when it seems to you like they've gotten crazier, they have, here's part of what you're seeing. Barack Obama. You remember Barack Obama? He got elected, and Democrats took the election of Barack Obama as this permanent state of affairs. I remember even well-established Democrat analysts like James Carville were up there saying, oh, we're entering a 40 years of Democrat rule. And Democrats really genuinely thought that. You had Barack Obama win once, then you had Barack Obama win twice, and Democrats in their mind thought, what? We've got this. Then, to double down on that, they nominated Hillary. Okay, not great, kind of a horrible person, but not great. The Republican idiots nominated Donald Trump. We are a shoo-in for the next one. So in their minds, their religion was safe. It was not only safe, it was pretty much a permanent thing. This is America now. A radical leftist country. This is what we are now. The Hillary loss is really what sent these people over the edge because it completely changed their worldview. They don't know how to live in this world. They don't know how to exist in it. So our next couple months are going to be long, or at least until this vote is held. Trump's going to nominate somebody. I would guess it's going to be Barrett. I don't know. I don't have any inside information on that. You know, I'd tell you if I did. I would guess it's going to be Barrett. And say a prayer for her. That's about to get really, really bad. She is going to experience every awful thing you possibly can experience. I actually do worry about her physical well-being, and I have 4 years of leftist violence telling me I should be worried about her physical well-being, so I hope she's well-protected. I hope her friends and family are going to be okay. You see, it's more than just the candidate or the potential Supreme Court justice. It's mom, dad, sister, brother, kids, grandkids. I don't know if she's old enough for that. Cousins, brothers. These leftists are so crazy, they're going to come for everybody. And they do this on purpose. It's their religion. She's trying to destroy it in their minds. And in their minds, totally justifiable to cost her second cousin her job. Husbands, kids. Kids get harassed at school. This is the reality of what's coming for her. Now, the reality of what's coming for the Republicans in the Senate, this is where it's going to be a problem. I realize everybody and their brother on the right, Republicans, they're celebrating right now. I mean, respectfully celebrating, because a lady did just die. But they're celebrating. Woohoo, Trump's going to nominate somebody. McConnell's going to hold a vote. We're good to go. I'm going to tell you a little story. Here's a little story. You remember Brett Kavanaugh? You remember how nasty that got? Brett Kavanaugh is maybe the biggest square I've ever seen in my life. He's lived his life so boring that honestly, it was almost unnerving. The guy was a cardboard cutout of what a SCOTUS should be. And do you remember what they did to Brett Kavanaugh? Brett Kavanaugh was an alcoholic serial rapist by the time the Democrats were done with him. That's what they did for Brett Kavanaugh. What do you think they're going to do to the Republican senators when the Supreme Court itself, the balance of it, is just up for grabs? They're going to make their life a living hell. They're going to make the lives of those senators a living hell. And so you can be as happy as you want about Trump appointing somebody. Good, good, good. McConnell says there's going to be a vote. That's awesome. Good. Woo. You know they don't need very many Republicans to break off, right? You see, during the Kavanaugh thing, we were one vote away from losing Brett Kavanaugh, and it took a personal threat from Mitch McConnell to a senator I'm not going to name because I'm not allowed to name this person. It took a threat from Mitch McConnell about this other senator's potential post-Senate career for that senator to finally break back and say yes on Kavanaugh. What I'm trying to tell you is we were that close to not getting the last guy. And Brett Kavanaugh, in the left's eyes, half as important as who replaces RBG. Because that's the entire balance of the Supreme Court. Now, if we were one vote away and that close from losing Brett Kavanaugh, how much faith do you have this next one goes through? It's easy to feel good about it now, isn't it? Right? Woohoo, we're fine. The phone calls haven't started. Senators haven't had microphones in their face 24 hours a day leaving the office. Senator Romney, are you really all about slaughtering women? Yes or no? It's coming, and it's going to be ugly. It's going to make that Brett Kavanaugh confirmation look like a pillow fight. Now, let me ask you a very, very hard question. How much faith do you have in the, not the strongest ones, the four or five weakest Republicans in the United States Senate? How much faith do you have they'll be able to stand up to the onslaught that's coming? Be honest. You don't got to email me or call me and tell me. Be honest with yourself. How much faith do you have? Last I checked, they were working on Juneteenth bills because Black Lives Matter was burning down cities. Trump had some words about what he's looking for.
So we will uphold equal justice under the law for citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. I will be putting forth a nominee next week. It will be a woman.
Okay. I know that excites a lot of people. It doesn't excite me at all. What's the person going to do as far as the Constitution goes? But I realize I'm the minority. I've come to accept that in general, people love identity politics. I'm a woman, I want a woman. I'm a black dude, I want a black guy. I'm Hispanic, I want an Hispanic. I'm a white guy, I want a white guy. I don't relate to any of that at all. Give me somebody who will stop the leftist hordes from tearing the country apart. I don't care who they are. But whatever, crowd loved it, okay. Trump went on Fox and Friends, had this to say too.
So, Mr. President, what I think you're saying is, what I heard you say is essentially you're looking for a brilliant legal mind. And if there is a political benefit for it, maybe that's just a bonus.
Well, you could say that, but we're looking for somebody who's brilliant, really understands the law, and abides by the Constitution, and a good person. We're looking for a good person, okay. A person who's really been somebody that has very, very high moral values.
Okay. I like it. It's fine. He's out there saying the right things. And here's something I want you to keep in mind, because I've been hearing this a lot from some gentler souls. Is that a nice way to put that, on the right? Some of our people who need a little boost every now and then. I hear a lot of the, wow, I mean, we shouldn't just ram someone through. We need to get back to the norms. The norms. You hear that a lot. Oh, I just want to get back to normal. We want norms again. What if this isn't normal? I have to tell you something, and you're not going to like it, all right? Especially older folks aren't going to like it. And when I'm saying older folks, I'm talking to myself now, too, because I find myself saying these things when I talk to my kids. There was no normal, ever. That's something that exists in your mind because you and I like to look back at older times or simpler times, and we like to act as if they were somehow superior to these times. Politically, there was never a normal, ever. Not in America, not in any nation in the history of the world. Politics is now and has always been a contact sport. Normal is what the people in power decide is normal. You know who determines what's right and what's wrong? The guy who wins. You don't like Genghis Khan's Mongolian rule? Well, you should have figured that out before he kicked your butt on the battlefield. Because now normal is whatever Genghis Khan says it is. There is no more normal. And you don't have to do this thing where you justify, well, you have to understand, when Obama was president, McConnell was leader, there was a difference of party. No, you don't have to do that. Your answer when somebody says, well, we should wait till after the election, is make me. You don't have the Senate votes. And the reason the Democrats don't have the Senate votes is what they did to Kavanaugh horrified people so much the Republicans were able to keep the Senate. You want more control over the SCOTUS nomination process? Well, win. That's really what it comes down to. There was never a norm. Remember, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were accusing each other of pedophilia on the campaign trail. There's never been a normal. And keep this in mind. Democrats have already announced what their plans are for when they take over again. And as I've always told you, take Democrats seriously when they say things, because unlike Republicans, Democrats mean them. Here's GOP Senator Barrasso.
Let me be very clear. If the Democrats win the White House and the Senate and have the House, they will change the rules. They will blow up the Senate. They have an entire war room working on this. They will expand the number of members of the Supreme Court, regardless of what the Republicans and President Trump do, if they get their way.
That's true. Do you see what I mean? Win or don't win. In November, you better win. I better win. Because he's right. Democrats have already said they're blowing things up. They're going to expand the court next time they take power. So you have the power now. Use it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Here's something else that should make you uncomfortable. The amount of violence you see out there. Look, you don't have to look hard. It's all over all the time. These people are tearing apart our country. And I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer to me. Be honest with yourself. When's the last time you practiced at the range? And let's say it was recently. Okay, when was the last time before that? How often do you actually go to the range and practice? Let's be honest with ourselves here. It's not enough. And look, I'm not judging you. I don't get out near as much as I should. One, the range seems like a big obligation on the weekend when you got family, job, everything. It's a big obligation. Two, ammo is expensive. Have you seen these prices now? If you can even get your hand on boxes, it's unbelievable. iTarget Pro has something else for you here. They sent this to me. This is what iTarget is. It's a laser. You have an app for your phone. It's simple. It took me about 5 seconds to get it on mine. They have a proprietary app. You put it on your phone. You take your self-defense weapon, they have all the major calibers, you insert their little device into your weapon, and you can practice with your weapon in the comfort of your home. That's no money on ammo. That's no driving to the range. That's no money spent at the range. No cleanup after, and no more excuses. With this, you can do it right there at home. You can do it at the dinner table. I know, because I did it at the dinner table last night. Go to itargetpro.com. Do not forget to use the promo code Jesse, because that actually gets you 10% off. Go get better with your weapon and save a ton of money. itargetpro.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. Few quick things here. I know it's a Supreme Court day. Let's be honest, it's going to be a Supreme Court month. You know we're going to be slogging through this. And you know how difficult it is for me, as somebody without a real education, to act like I know anything about these legal matters whatsoever? It's going to be brutal. So we're taking a brief break off that. AG Barr, I like this move. He's out with a statement. He doesn't, you see, he declared three U.S. cities to be, and I quote, anarchist jurisdictions, which of course they are, and then had this to say. When state and local leaders impede their own law enforcement officers and agencies from doing their jobs, it endangers innocent civilians who deserve to be protected, including those who are trying to peacefully assemble and protest. We cannot allow federal tax dollars to be wasted when the safety of the citizenry hangs in the balance. It is my hope that the cities identified by the Department of Justice today will reverse course and become serious about performing the basic function of government and start protecting their own citizens. I think that is very, very cool. And I will tell you, I am still a little weirded out by what's happened in some of these cities like Portland. Now, I don't expect to ever connect with leftists. I don't look at insane leftists and think, boy, I really understand them. That's just not going to happen. They're insane. I don't worship government. They do. However, I've never understood the end game with you're a mayor of Portland. You allow people, including people from out of town, to come in and assault your police officers and run your businesses out of town and burn things. What's the end game? But then again, maybe that's my fault. Maybe I'm doing something I always tell you not to do. Maybe I'm trying to analyze this logically for people who don't think in that way. Maybe they don't have an end game. Maybe just anger is the end game for these people. Lastly, if you didn't watch the Emmys last night, you're not alone. As you can imagine, TV ratings are massively down again, just like they're down for NBA games, down for NFL games. By the grace of God, the American people are done being lectured about how racist and awful they are. But Jimmy Kimmel did show up to it, and this might be the most embarrassing video I've ever seen in my life.
This isn't what it should have been, Jimmy, but you know what? I'm still rooting for everybody black, because black stories, black performances, and black lives matter. Say it with me, Jimmy. Black lives matter. Louder, Jimmy.
Black lives matter.
Louder, Jimmy. Say it so that Mike Pence can hear it.
Black lives matter.
That's right.
Really great movement. Yeah, there. That's a really great movement. I'm certainly glad we've emboldened these people. Good grief. All right, that's enough of that. Let me tell you about Grill Blazer. Please tell me you've got yours by now. Please tell me you've gone and got your grill gun. Grilling is even more fun when you know you get to clean it with the grill gun after. It's you see it right there. You attach a tank to it. And when you're done, there's no more cranking up your grill to get it 9 billion degrees and then scraping it off. You just use the Grill Blazer to clean it off. You also start your grill with it, start your fires. You can start anything with it. And there's an indoor one to sear your meat before you cook it. That's right. You can set it right on the stovetop and sear it right there inside safely. Go. It's going to change your grilling experience. It's actually made grilling and cleaning up after a bit more fun. Are we allowed to say that? I'm sorry. I enjoy the thing. Go to grillblazer.com. That's grillblazer.com. Don't forget to use the promo code Jesse and save yourself some money. Enjoy yourself. We'll be back. Joining me now is Brandon Weikert, author for The American Spectator, and wrote a great book about space and the space battle. Go buy it. It's called Winning Space. Brandon, let me ask you something. I have almost no faith the Republicans are going to be strong enough to hold up and put through an actual nominee. I hear all the tough talk now, but that's before all these insane leftists are at their door every single minute of the day. Am I wrong?
Well, I think the only thing that's going to steal them to do the right thing, I think, is the fact that they have so committed themselves to pushing through conservative jurists at all levels of the federal court system. I remember I had dinner with Lindsey Graham about a year ago, and this was before really the love affair began with Donald Trump. And even he said that no matter what happens, he's always going to be on the side of the conservative ability to put justices through at any level of the federal bench. So I think ultimately everyone on the Republican Party knows that if they don't do this, they're probably going to be out of a job at some point in the next couple of years. And I think that will force them to nominate and support one of the three names that has been listed for the Supreme Court. I think it's Amy Coney Barrett. There's a woman called Rushing, and then of course Barbara Lagoa, who I'm very familiar with. I live in Florida, and so any one of those three are fantastic choices if you're conservative. And what's more, they're great judges. And so I think they're going to stay together. Mitch McConnell needs. He can lose, I think, up to three of the five questionable Republican votes and still have a tiebreaker with Mike Pence. So I think we have the votes. But, a lot of time between now and the election. But I think we have the votes right now.
Tell me about this Florida woman. I mean, I hear Florida and yeah. I think, man, that's got to be a major concern.
Yeah. Well, here's why I think she's going to be the nominee. I could be wrong, but I think she's going to be the nominee because she has the backing of sort of the establishment conservative. She has the Federalist Society backing her. She is, the Koch family's backing her. She's got a lot of support in Florida. Obviously, Florida is a key state to win for the Republicans, and she's got a lot of support here. She was a Ron DeSantis protege, she's made a lot of conservative rulings. Now, her stance on abortion, I think, is a little nuanced. But ultimately, I think if the right case made it to the Supreme Court and she were sitting on it, I think she would vote to overturn the Roe v. Wade decision, or at least vote for a decision that would seriously weaken the very horrific Roe v. Wade decision. Obviously, a woman like Amy Barrett is very openly anti-abortion. And so in that way, I'm a fan of hers. But I do think that the Barbara Lagoa, there's a lot of outside issues that lend it to her being the number one pick ultimately. And that is that she'll win a lot of the Florida votes over. She's the president's a big fan of Ron DeSantis. And so she's a protege of his. She's Cuban. She's a mother of. She's got a beautiful family, and she does have conservative bona fides that a lot of her detractors on the right are not giving her credit for.
Okay, are her detractors on the right mainly concerned with her abortion stance? And I guess I should ask you this: Where does America in general stand on abortion? I mean, I will tell you, as everybody who watches my show know, I am militantly pro-life. I mean, it is absurd
as
how pro-life. I know the country is not in line with me on this, right. But where does America fall on it?
Well, I think if you look at the last 30 years, beginning in the 90s, there's been a steady decrease in abortions, just sort of out of people's own volition. Particularly among millennials, actually, that even if we say that we support it, The incidence of abortions has gone down pretty much consistently since the mid-90s. And so I think on some level, there's sort of this natural aversion to it that could translate very well into just naturally accepting an official ruling from the court saying that we can't do this anymore. We had in 2002 Lacey's Law passed, which was passed. Lacey Peterson was murdered horrifically. She was pregnant, I believe, with twins. And the San Francisco district attorney charged her husband with the murder and said, not only are you liable for the murder of Lacey, your wife, but also for the murder of the unborn children that she was carrying. Of course, that throws a big kink in sort of the argument that pro-aborts are making, because if you're going to validate those unborn children that were killed as being life, that creates a whole nother issue now. And so I think inevitably at some point we're going to have to contend with Lacey's Law and how it grants life, the right to life, to the unborn when Roe specifically says it can't. Now, there's been some case law out there that makes the argument that no, there's a separation there, but I really think that's something that the Supreme Court would be interested in ruling on. And I think any one of the three judges that have been put forward as the top three contenders to replace Ginsburg, Amy Coney Barrett, Rushing, or Lagoa, any one of them, I think, definitely Amy, but I think Barbara as well, would rule to stymie abortion. And in terms of the country, I think that there's pretty even split, like everything else in this country. And I think we're just going to have to, if one side has the power, they're going to use it to implement their agenda. And so if the Democrats had the ability to push through their preferred nominee, they would do it. And that's constitutionally allowed. And so the Republicans should do it as well with their choice, because we have the power right now. We may not have it in another 2 years or in another 4 years.
Brandon, when it comes to Roe v. Wade, I am a Republican, so I have been used to this my entire life. I've watched every Republican congressman, senator, and president talk about Roe v. Wade, talk about Planned Parenthood. They're all going to overturn Roe v. Wade. They're all going to defund Planned Parenthood, and we still have Roe v. Wade, and Planned Parenthood is still getting money. So tell me, without, you don't have to sugarcoat it for me. Is it actually even a possibility this gets overturned, or is this thing decided and it's just something Republicans talk about to make ourselves feel better?
Well, it's a little bit of both, because I think if, like I said, if the right case comes before the court, they can decide maybe not to overturn Roe v. Wade explicitly, but they can basically decide to gut the law so that it can't, the practice really can't be taken any longer with such ease, which would be a win in my book. There certainly is, from there's sort of a legalese argument that, well, it's now the law of the land, Roe v. Wade, and we have all this relevant case law that's been formed around it. But again, the right challenge and the right time with the right court can at least weaken Roe. And again, if you're a believer in the right to life, as I am, and as I know you are, that's still positive momentum. We've already seen at the state level, state decisions being made to stunt and stymie the ability for Planned Parenthood to operate as easily as they have. Now, some of that has been overturned by the court, but overall, there is sort of this movement at all levels of government from the right to slow this thing down. And I think the right Supreme Court makeup, I think, would at the very least potentially gut the law. Maybe it still exists on the books, but they could gut it. And it is a possibility now that Ginsburg's out of the equation. You know, it's what, it, that's the key.
What does the right case mean? Now, when I ask you this, I understand that you are an educated individual and you have to understand that I am not.
Well, I'm not a lawyer.
What does that mean? Well, I understand, but you actually have some formal education and you can read, which puts you beyond me. Exactly what does the right case mean? What's the right case?
Well, so for instance, like I mentioned, the law, you know, going after the Lacey's Law aspect would kind of force a definition of what life is. And it would, I think, with that makeup of the court, allow a definition that you or I might agree with more in terms of life. to become sort of the accepted law of the land, and it would seriously limit, at the very least, the ability for Planned Parenthood to operate and to conduct abortions as willy-nilly as they do. You know, there are other cases, things that can be done to attack sort of the support struts for the law that would again weaken the ability for Roe v. Wade to exist as the law of the land. And from there, over the course of years, we can keep picking away, chipping away at the law until eventually it has to be overturned directly. You know, this sort of like, how do you devour a whale? It's one bite at a time. It's going to be an incremental approach, I think. But do I think it's possible to overturn? More so now than even a month ago.
All right. Thank you. He actually made me feel better.
Thank you.
Brandon Weikert, author of Winning Space. Appreciate you, my brother.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm about to make you feel even better than that. You know that you don't have to take the news we got today about the Dow and stress about it all the time. I understand you have money in stocks and bonds. I get it. I do too. Again, I'm not telling you to go yank all your money out of the market and bury it out back in a mayonnaise jar. But you realize you can diversify a little bit? Go get a gold IRA, please. It's gold. It's been worth something forever. It's worth something now. It'll be worth something tomorrow. It'll be worth something 1,000 years from now. Get a gold IRA. And I know what you're saying, Jesse, I don't even know what that is. You don't have to know what that is. Gold Alliance does. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse and ask them. Go find out. They'll lay it all out for you. It couldn't possibly be any easier. goldalliance.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Joining me now, Bruce Lavelle, co-founder of the National Diversity Coalition. Bruce, I feel like things are starting to change a little bit politically in the country when it comes to these Antifa BLM protests. I feel like the country is really waking up that, wow, these are not good people. These are not people who have the interest of America at heart. They certainly don't have the interest of poor Americans at heart. But is that just wishful thinking on my part? Is it still just as bad as I thought it was?
Well, hopefully it's a reality, Jesse, and thanks for having me. One of the things is reality is, look, there's no real money moving. A lot of the great big cities that we have, which are under Democrat rule, which are having the largest amount of the unrest, well, should I say all of them, are realizing that their local merchants can't operate their businesses, Jesse. They can't sell a cup of coffee in their local bakery, or they can't go to their local cleaners. They can't go, you know, all these small businesses that can't pay the sales tax, Jesse, which essentially funds the police, the infrastructure, the sidewalks, everything. They realize, like, wait a minute, I don't know if this is a great idea. So I hope, and I wish that wasn't just the only reason. I just wish that they would wake up and say, you know what, this is really wrong. But, you know, when you always get people's attention when the money stops flowing and they're realizing that they're cutting their nose off in spite of their face, and that they have to realize that this is not helping anyone.
Bruce, I realize I may be asking a lot, but I'm going to ask you to put your Democrat hat on here for a moment. But I don't understand. All right, let's say you're a nutball leftist mayor of Portland, like their idiot mayor. You still know it's your tax base that's eroding. Even if you're the biggest card-carrying commie in the world, it's your businesses that are leaving, which affects the budget that you can. I'm sure he's promised all kinds of big spending items. And half the people who are burning down his stuff are from out of town. So even if you're the biggest leftist nutball in the world, why allow this? It only hurts you. Or am I wrong? Does it help him?
Well, I don't know where they're coming from, but I will tell you this, Jesse. I'm a 27-year small business owner in Atlanta, and I am a strong advocate to really get behind people who have business experience, who have real estate on the hook, who have a small mom-and-pop store on the hook, and those folks who are not tied to special interests, watch this, Jesse, who want to come serve on city council, commission, state rep, state house, congressional seat. Those are the folks, ladies and gentlemen, that we really need to look at, because they understand what a balance sheet looks like. They understand what it's like to have a profit and loss statement. They understand that, you know, in order to have a good, strong economic development community is we have to have a vibrant small business, which, by the way, 30.6 million of us, including myself, Jesse, make up 60% of the GDP. So with that being said, you know, one would think that, that common sense would kick in. That's why for all your viewers, Jesse, I know you have millions watching, is that look at the candidate that has no ties to special interests, that has a pretty cool business acumen in their background, possibly, who understands how to run a business, who understands our family member, what they go through, and look at them being elected and not these generational folks that get in these offices that don't have a clue what it like to have their own balance sheet in their checkbook.
Bruce, what do you think should be done with this Supreme Court nomination?
Whew, man, I tell you, I know God's been with the president since day one. I always said that he would be elected as the game changer. And, you know, there were, you know, I believe Ginsburg and a couple of others were confirmed in less than 45 days, if I'm not, history doesn't mistake me, Jesse. So it is the president's constitutional authority, you know, to go ahead and select someone. So, you know, I know the Democrats may not like it, but at the end of the day, it's his privilege. It's his, based on the Constitution, to go ahead and I, you, the great thing, listen, the cool thing, great question, too. The great thing about the president, since 2015-16, he's had a long list of potentials. It's no secret, Jesse. Unlike Joe Biden, is like, hello, do you have any list? And he's hee-hawing around. So the American people ought to be thankful for the transparency of the president putting out a long, long, very well-qualified list, men, women, et cetera, that the public has like, oh, I've seen that name before. Oh, so it's really not a surprise, unlike Joe and all them who won't put out. It's like they're holding it a secret. So the American people need to commend the president on his authenticity and his transparency. Great question.
Should he be less transparent? And look, I ask this because, look, no. I love that Trump is willing to be transparent. I love that he's willing to sit down with anybody and put out anything. But I, sometimes, Bruce, and I realize I'm a bad person, I look at how these scumbags treat him all the time, and I think, well, screw you. I'm not telling you anything then.
Well, you know what? One thing about the president, whether you like it or not, I love the authenticity. It's kind of like a great marriage. I've been happily married 28 years myself, and I'll tell you the best forms of communication is the best communication is communicating. Whether you may not like it or not, but at the end of the day, you learn to work around it. You understand who you're dealing with. You know the consistency. There's no secrets. There's no surprises. And I think that's very healthy for our republic. Not to mention, Jesse, for anyone potentially wanting to seek office or in leadership, be who you are on the camera as if you are in a public, in a private setting. Just be transparent the best you can. And I think that's going to prevail itself in our great nation because people are starving for transparency.
Bruce, I'm at this point where I'm starting to get way overconfident about November, and that's when I get really nervous. I look at everything the way it's laid out. I look at how Joe Biden's conducting himself or not conducting himself on the campaign trail, and I can't see in my mind a way he wins it. Will you slap me around and wake me up a little bit? How does Joe Biden win this thing?
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's kind of sad because I've been on a lot of networks and, you know, it was kind of comical for a while, but I actually feel a little sorry for him. And I'll tell you why. The gaffes you saw, the one recently where he said over 200 million people have died when there's only 328 million people in the United States. You know, he's constantly seeing gaffe after gaffe. And it's kind of like, you know, I have this hashtag called hashtag DNC elder abuse. And I just can't believe that the DNC would prop up Joe Biden to be their nominee, or whatever, knowing that this poor man has some questionable health issues that's causing him to say really crazy things, erotic things, and, you know, things that just don't make sense. And I've had, unfortunately, just I've had family members who've been through, I don't want to say he has this, but have been through some level of memory loss and forgetting where they're at. And it's kind of sad, Jesse, and I just can't believe the DNC would actually put this poor man through this and his family. And I say that respectfully.
No, I get that. What I don't understand, Bruce, is why he would want to do it. I barely want to come to work now, let alone when I'm 80 years old and I know I'm not functioning anymore. I would just want to stay home and relax.
You know, one time I learned from the great Senator Isaacson, who resigned, and then you saw Brian Kemp select Kelly Loeffler as the new senator, is, you know, I remember him telling me a long time ago, he says, Bruce, sometimes you got to know when to go sit down. And some people have not learned how to go sit down, Jesse. And I think, respectfully, I think Joe wants out, but he just doesn't know how to ask to get out. And that, I've seen that happen to guys, you know, hanging around the camp too long, and then they end up with, you know, whatever legacy they had just gets charged based on knowing that it was time for them to go sit down. So I think whatever legacy he does have what he has, I think it's really going to be thrown into question based on him not knowing how to go sit down.
Bruce Lavelle, appreciate you very much, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me, Jess.
All right. We'll be back. Okay. We need to have a serious talk about women and animals. And I say this as the owner of a new puppy. Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm the proud owner of a new puppy. As you know, I'm a soulless monster with no moral compass whatsoever and certainly no feelings. However, I also have two sons. I have held off getting a pet as long as humanly possible because if I need to use the bathroom in the yard, I can do it myself. I don't need someone else to do it for me. However, the two sons are sitting there, they want to see a dog. They see dogs, let's get a dog. So we got them a dog. Got to the house yesterday. Everybody's happy about the dog. I'm surviving. I know you're concerned about me. But women and animals, I'll never understand it. I think it's that nurturing aspect to how God made them, but they think animals, all of them, not just cute little puppies, but all of them, they look at an animal, and I don't know whether it's a mother-baby thing, but they consider animals to be cute, even hideous-looking animals. My wife will see them be like, oh, look how cute he is, and I'm just horrified by this. So this video, I just want to show it to you. I want you to breathe this in. This is how they act around animals.
Where's the nose? Oh, it's getting old. Oh,
what are you doing? What are you doing? And I'll tell you why I want to go off on this for just a brief moment. You understand that we have people get killed with this stuff every year, right? Mainly, I grew up in Montana. And Yellowstone National Park. There's a video out there. I'm not going to play it for you because it's hard to watch it. It's a kid getting hurt. The kid ended up being fine. But these people are out, this couple's out, and they have this little girl. I think she was 7 years old with them. And they just go nancing up to this gigantic buffalo because it's so cute. Look at his wet little nose. He's so adorable. And the buffalo charges, and boom, the kid gets absolutely launched into outer space. It's awful. Wild animals are wild animals, all right? They're not babies. They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They're wild animals. Observe them from afar. All that being said, as anti-pet as I am, as anti-cute cuddly animal as I am, is it bad that I really want a piranha? Like, I really, really want a piranha. Because I want to feed little things to it. I think it'll help the boys grow up. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, it's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.